I'm Brian Russo, and welcome back to Coastal Connection. Coming up later in the program, we'll take you inside the walls of the Sussex Correctional Institution in Georgetown, Delaware, to meet the inmates finding therapy and a sense of peace in art. But first, we'll turn to a new series we're launching here on Coastal Connection called Faith on the Coast. Our region is home to all sorts of religious traditions, some with roots that go back centuries, and others that have sprung up in recent decades as the population of the coast has grown and become more diverse. We wanted to meet the people behind these traditions, to find out how faith shapes their lives, and in turn, how our changing society is affecting their spiritual and religious values. We begin in Easton, Maryland, where down a long tree-lined lane, you'll find several small and historic-looking buildings. These are the meeting houses of the Third Haven Friends Meeting, or Quakers. Members of the Third Haven Friends Meeting have been gathering here since 1682, and their original meeting house is said to be the oldest frame house of worship in the United States. Now, the first thing you need to know about a Sunday morning Quaker service or meeting is this. Silence. That's because for 350 years, the Quakers, or the Religious Society of Friends as they were originally named by founder George Fox, have worshipped quietly. So instead of a pastor or a preacher leading the Sunday morning worship, Quakers look inward in silence. So for long periods of the service, you'll see people with their eyes closed in a sort of meditative state. And every once in a while, a member of the group will be inspired to stand up and share something that they've been dealing with, or maybe talk about an epiphany they've had, or just share whatever is on their mind. Quakers read the Bible, and they believe in the traditional gospel story, but their spiritual journey is focused within, even though they sit in pews facing one another. Perhaps the most famous Quaker was William Penn, but this group is growing worldwide. Statistics say there's little less than 400,000 of them. Even if the number of so-called Quakers is significantly smaller than other mainstream denominations, the people I met here seem to be as completely connected with the approach to their faith as they are in the basis of that faith. It's interesting. Some people have called Quakerism less a religion and more so an approach to religion. Now, you might think that all this silence and introspective soul-searching might be a little tough to grasp, especially if you, like me, have a lifetime of traditional church services under your belt. But to be honest, after the first few minutes, my mind started to go to the places that it hadn't been spiritually in quite a long time. I was extremely moved by this group of 60 or so folks packed into a room that looked much like it did 300 years ago, locked into their own spiritual journeys. And on this day, it lacked all the stained glass and pipe organs that you might normally get on a Sunday morning at church. Afterwards, I sat down in a pew and I was joined by a few members of the Third Haven Friends Meeting to talk about their faith, their history, and the role the church plays in their community. First, let's do a roll call.
Hi, my name is Candace Shattuck.
Susan Claggett.
John Schreiner.
Tom Coral.
Marcy Hawkinson.
For anyone who's never been to a Quaker service, you know, in sitting through my first one earlier, the thing that struck me the most was the silence and how there isn't a minister or a pastor or a reverend at the front leading the service. Essentially, the silence and everybody's personal process leads the way. Tell me about where that came from and sort of how that is every week and what role that plays, what role the silence plays.
Mm. The word we use for this is unprogrammed worship. Nothing is planned ahead, and the trust is that the people who come together to listen for God. Sometimes, every once in a while, you'll have a meeting that is entirely quiet. That's unusual, but it does happen, and those can be very rich meetings too. But the idea is that when an individual feels a stirring inside, that they've had a message that is from God and is not for them alone, it's for the wider meeting, and it's for now, then they will rise and deliver that message in as few words as possible, and yet as many as they need to share with others, and then they would be seated and return to silence. So sometimes you will get a string of messages on a subject, and sometimes not. Sometimes they're all different, as they were today. I just wanted one thing is, a few years back, we meet in the summer in the old meeting house, as I think you know, And it was an entirely silent meeting. And yet afterwards, when people rose to introduce themselves, one of the attenders there today was a gentleman who identified himself as a minister in one of the well-known varieties. And he said that was one of the most moving experiences he'd had. He'd been wrestling with a question for a long time, and he'd received the answer then in the silence. So, yeah.
At first, you know, it was almost, the silence was deafening, you know, because you don't often in this day and age sit in a room where it's completely silent when you have 50 people in said room. So at first it was almost uncomfortable. You know, you move around in your pew and you know, these old floorboards, you know, you make the sounds. But then it was very calming, and it was, you found yourself sort of, your mind started to slow down and you were at ease with your own thoughts. It doesn't seem like there's a rule book about what you should be thinking about when you're in the sanctuary and when you're worshiping. What do you think about?
Well, that's a very good question, because growing up in the faith as a child, I didn't get a lot of instruction. I didn't have a lot of books, read this. We didn't have the Bible home at night, although I knew the Bible existed. So it is tricky as a newcomer, or even as a child, what's going on here. Mm-hmm. You have to show up, and you have to participate, and listen. And you're mostly listening to your own heart, what is inside. And you bring to the table your own truth. Mm-hmm. And why we worship together, it's the collective experience. Sure, you could be at home and meditate. That's all great. But it's so powerful to be in a room and feel the Spirit moving among each person here, including the children.
Yeah, it was really quite moving. As time went on, you know, just watching everybody and sort of, you know, as you look around the room and you see people almost inwardly toiling with things, and then other people, you know, maybe had found a resolution to that struggle and, you know, sort of lurched back in their pew a little bit and were calming. The thing that I found really fascinating about this faith is that sense of individual responsibility.
Yes.
Explain for me that the one of the fundamental teachings of that of God. Explain that for me.
Well, it's a connection that I feel in thought and action with those nearby. Mm-hmm. And for me, the quietness that comes is fairly new. I've been just involved here at this meeting for about 20 years, so I'm a newcomer. But what I find is that it leads gradually to respect. Mm-hmm. And with that respect comes a new form of listening. Mm-hmm. So when words are spoken, I find myself really listening. What's the spirit behind that thought?
Yeah. There was a few things in reading about the faith and that idea of that of God, sort of that sense that inside of each and every person there is, you know, things like the Christ within or the inward light. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think that the idea of that of God within each and every one of us is the core belief of the Religious Society of Friends. And from that core belief derives a lot of what we do, our testimonies mm-hmm. about equality and justice and fairness and respect and community becomes understandable and meaningful because there is that of God in everyone. Mm-hmm. And I think the process by which we discover that of God within ourselves and with others is what Quakers call discernment. And discernment is a process of thinking and reflecting and trying to understand what is the nature of the will of God, what is the message from God. And in my own experience, it doesn't always come through as a verbal message, but as a nudge or mm-hmm. an inclination or what friends call leadings. And it kind of takes you somewhere. To go back to what happens in Meeting for Worship, for me, there's always an initial phase of kind of settling in, quieting down, and getting rid of all the stuff that you might otherwise be thinking about to create an opening in which the Spirit or God can reach you and touch you.
Quakerism is certainly, if you look back in history, it was sort of derived from Christianity, but oftentimes in a service, of a congregation of friends, there isn't that expected gospel telling and story of Christ and the teachings of the Bible. Explain what role the Bible has in this faith.
We do consider ourselves Christian, and we do read the Bible. We follow the teachings of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I guess one thing I wanted to say was, as far as God being within each of us, this also leads to our position on the death penalty, that we cannot take God, there's God within all people, mm-hmm. even the ones who create, do heinous crimes.
Yeah.
And we are not, it's not for us to take the life of another.
That's an interesting point, because in our daily existence, oftentimes things that happen outside of a church, whatever denomination, political things, crime, major current event issues that are happening in the world, oftentimes you have church communities standing out and speaking up, either for or against those things that are happening in the world, politically, socially, etc. Where does the meeting of friends, where do the Quakers stand? Where is that line in the sand of, speaking out against or for issues that are sort of a larger part of the narrative?
Well, to answer that question, I think you need to look at how the Quaker organization as a whole works. We kind of are the exact reverse of many denominations in that decision-making and power, if you will, comes from the grassroots mm-hmm. here, not from a set of bishops or any organization. Mm-hmm. So when a stand is taken on issues, it's most likely going to be at a local level, and it can be elevated to up through the gathering of many meetings together, but things really start at the local level. And that's why I think you heard someone today talking about greater involvement in the question of mass incarceration of mainly black people, but the disparity of sentencing and incarceration, particularly on drug charges. That's an issue that has come, that several people here have felt strongly drawn to do something about this, and what happens is they begin to do something and take a stand and may set up an event like a book reading, which mm-hmm. they did, and a film. There could be letters to the editor, and it's really something that starts at the bottom and begins to gain energy that way, if there's energy in the issue.
Yeah.
And sometimes someone will feel very concerned about something and not find others that go along with it.
Sure.
So it's a very different kind of paradigm.
And that's interesting that you mentioned that, because that narrative is parallel to and sort of is in the same vein with historically what Quakers have always done. If you look back hundreds of years, they were at the forefront and stood out in support of slaves and oppressed individuals in the community from any walk of life. Obviously, I mentioned the history. This site goes back to the 1600s, and it is truly, it's like walking into a time capsule. It's really quite a moving experience just to drive down the lane here. For you, do you get caught up in that sense of history and people who've, sat on the pews before that held similar beliefs? Is it, do you feel that sense of history every time that you come here?
I too see the beauty of coming down the lane and the peacefulness of the setting. We're lucky to have 7 acres in the middle of a busy town. And the old meeting house we use about close to 6 months of the year. And in fact, we've had memorial services there in the middle of winter with people's breath showing and wearing overcoats, because we wanted to be in that space. And I think it was the timelessness of the sense of history that the family would choose that mm-hmm. place in an overcoat to honor someone who's died and close to them. I'm not here because of the sense of history.
Right.
I'm here because what I see around me are people engaged in the community doing some good.
Yeah. Now, all of us here in the group, I'll just pose it to everybody, who, just show of hands, who grew up in this faith and who converted into it? You grew up in the faith, and you grew up in the faith. So for you, have you ever explored or spent time studying other religions? And if you have, you know, what brought back to Quakerism?
Yes and no. I have thought a lot about other faiths, for sure. But Quakerism speaks to me, and it's in my blood, it's in my history, it's in my family.
Yeah.
So I will probably never, ever leave it, and I never want to,
yeah.
because I am very rooted in it, and I totally get it now after so many years. It takes a while. Didn't get it as a kid, but yeah, you have to work. You have to put something into this faith. It doesn't tell you what to do. It comes from within.
Yeah.
You know, you're responsible for it. If you look out on the grounds, all the graveyard, all the stones are the same height because we believe in equality.
Yeah.
Something that drew me as a young woman growing up. Equality is one of our testimonies. Simplicity,
mm-hmm.
another testimony. Peace. I spent many years walking around the country for nuclear disarmament, speaking my truth because I believe that also my faith supported me on that. Global nuclear disarmament. We totally believe in peace. Anti-war. Community. There's a sense of community, as some of the other members have spoken, and. Integrity is our other testimony.
Research by the Pew Religion and Public Life Project found that religion appears to be playing a declining role in American life. And if you look at statistics, more and more Americans are saying that church is not a part of their life anymore. But looking around this room, it seems that church is very much a part of not only this community, but as the one gentleman earlier was talking about, a growing number of people in Africa and Europe embracing Quakerism. What is it about this faith that you think keeps people coming back?
I guess to put it in simple terms, it was because there was no one telling me what I had to believe. I loved the silence, and I like the fact that the emphasis in Quakerism is very much on the here and now, living this life that we know we have the best way we can.
Yeah.
So there's very little talk about hereafter or anything like that. It's what are we doing now, and how am I helping my neighbor? How am I helping this world be a better place? So it was the immediacy, I guess.
That was Candace Shattuck and several other members of the Third Haven Friends meeting of Eastern Maryland. To learn more about the Quakers or to see pictures from my visit, click to our website, wamucoast.org. I'm Brian Russo, and you're listening to Coastal Connection.